Anger often gets a really bad rap in our society, and you know, often as little children, you know, when we get angry, our parents get very upset and disturbed by that. And yet, when you look through the scriptures, it's certainly an attribute that is part of God's character. That sense of a God who does get bothered by things. And so we hear in our first reading today that there are these different things that God gets angry about when there is injustice, when the people who are the most vulnerable in society are mistreated. God's ticked off. God's annoyed and angry about that. And it's important for us to recognize our own anger, because anger can be one of those driving emotions that cause us to really see something that is amiss in the world and to do something about it, as St. Mary MacKillop would say. You never see a need without doing something about it. And anger, I'm sure, is part of that motivation. And so this call for us to truly understand that all things in our world are God-given. All things have been created by God, and all things have their place. And anger is one of those, as long as it's directed in the right way and when it's caring for the most vulnerable. That's one of those sure signs that it is of God. But we continue in this pointy end of the life and ministry of Jesus. We're in the final week of Jesus' life. We've had this series of three parables over three Sundays, and then we've had these three confrontations. We had the first last week. We've jumped over the second, which was the question that the opening line heard about this question of the Sadducees were silenced. It was the story of the seven husbands for the bride, and they all die without leaving any children, and this question of, you know, which of those husbands will she marry when they're raised to new life. And this now is the third of these challenges, this third of these confrontations between the Pharisees and the leaders of Israel, the leaders particularly of Jerusalem and the temple, and Jesus. In other Gospels, when we hear this story, it's not this confrontation. The scribe who asked the question is on the side of Jesus and just asks it as a matter of curiosity. It was one of those questions that rabbis would often be asked. In the first five books of the Hebrew Scriptures, we call it the Torah, there are able to be discerned there 613 different commandments. 365 of them were prohibitions, things you shall not do. And 248 of these were prescriptions, things you shall do. So in total, the 613. And so when you're trying to work out, well, is there some kind of ranking system? Is there an ordering of these commandments? Some would say, no, they're all equally significant. Others said, well, certainly the moral ones are more significant than the ones that deal with, you know, don't mix two different kinds of cloth together, or, you know, ones about what crops to plant and when, and those kinds of laws. And so this question is the test. Well, how's Jesus going to decide this question? How is he going to answer it? And the ones that he chose by answering not just one commandment, but with two, were very traditional and certainly part of the prayer life of Israel. Because the first commandment that he gives is part of what is called the Shema. It's the daily prayer utterance, and the closest thing that you really get within Judaism to a creedal statement. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So Jesus quotes not the whole thing, which he does in Mark's Gospel and in Luke's Gospel, but here in Matthew we just get the second half of that Shema. But it's clearly the Shema that he is quoting from. And then a second, Jerusalem says, resembles it. The text is a bit stronger than that. A second is like it. So he's bringing, when the question is asked, which is the greatest commandment, he doesn't have to answer one, but brings these two together. The second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So both of these commandments are, of course, linked by this word, love. Now, he's quoting again from the Hebrew Scriptures, so it's important to know what the word is in the Hebrew. And it's the word ahava, ahava. So it's the word for love. It's a little bit like the word you might also know from the Greek language, agape. But ahava is in some ways even broader than agape. Agape is just about willing the good of the other person for who they are. But even though Hebrew has various different words for love, just as in English we have all kinds of different words for love, so also in the Hebrew. But this word ahava can mean the love between spouses, so between a husband and a wife, or it can be the love between a parent and a child, or it can be the love between two friends. It can also be simply the love of affection, or it can be the love that is expressed in a whole society between Queenslanders and New South Wales or Victorians. We've got to love the Victorians as they continue to struggle on the night of the grand final and not even being in their own state. This love is very broad and very mixed. But love is not just a feeling. It's not just a sentimental thing. For example, when we read in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, and we hear that the love of God is everlasting, it's an indication that love is the very characteristic of God. It's the very quality of God. It's not something he chooses to do. It's not something that he's able to stop doing. No, love is everlasting, Jeremiah says. So there is no beginning. There is no ending. Love is eternal. Love is just always there in God. So it's at the very heart of who God is. But not just as a sentiment, as an action. It's the very reality of what God is like. And how do we learn about love? How do we discover the depths of that love? By observing and watching the way that God loves all creation and all humanity. There are no favorites in the love that God reveals, that God pours out upon all creation. And so for us to experience this love, you know, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our strength. Jesus changes that. We don't know why. He changes the word strength to the word mind. In the other two Gospels, they throw in heart, soul, strength, and mind. But in Matthew, changes that word strength, which is really just the Hebrew word for muchness. It's the word miod. It's just this sense of all that we are, just giving every element of us to God. And so it's this whole expression of what we're meant to be, what we're caught up in. And how do we do that? In action. It has to be expressed. You know, love is not something that can just be left in my own heart or in my own mind, in my own experience. How do we know that someone loves God? When they love others. That's the ultimate test. And the only valid test for love is in the expression of that love. So the challenge for us, of course, is how do we love more? How do we get caught up in that love? First, of course, we need to experience that love. You know, I can't give what I haven't got. So we need to take time in prayer just to be soaked as the rain falls upon around us, to be soaked in that love of God, to receive that love and to allow that love to fill us and to sustain us. But also, we need to share that love, to put it into practice. I'm sure there are people around us who don't know the love of God, who don't know the practical expressions of that love. And if we take a moment just to think about the people in our lives, I'm sure there's going to be one person at least that will come to mind right now. One person who needs to know something of the love of God. Not, you know, in a way that we preach to them, not in a way that we, you know, talk about the love of God, but practically. How can we express that love in a practical way? You know, is there a meal that we can make and take to someone? Is there an odd job that we can offer to do around their house? Is it simply just a smile that we can offer or a warm greeting when we see someone in the street? Is it a phone call that we might make to someone that we know hasn't got a lot of friends, a lot of support right now? Is it offering to give someone a lift? There are so many different ways that we can express that love, but express it, it has to be. And so for us tonight, let's really pray indeed that we would experience the love of God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our soul, and pray for that gift to receive that love so that we can indeed love our neighbor as ourselves.